Hi, everyone, and I'd like to thank all of you for joining us. So we'll go ahead and get started, and we're traveling. Madeline and I are in Lecompton, Kansas, at the home of our good friends, Judy and Michael Carmen, and I'm just arranging and adjusting a little bit here. So thanks for joining us. Okay, so today is November 15th. It's Wednesday, so this is the day before the usual third Thursday meal, right? We're having our meal, third Thursday call, in 2023. And, thanks for joining us. I apologize for the slight adjustment in the schedule. It's really, we try to do everything we can to make it on the third Thursday, but this time we couldn't. We have two events tomorrow here in one in Kansas and one in Missouri. So that's the situation, and it's great to see you all. I'll tell a little bit about the situation, and then we can go ahead and have our meditation. So the basic flow has been going very well, I would say, all in all. We've been on the road now since Saturday, a week ago Saturday. We went right to Reno, and we were at the Unity Church there at the service and doing a workshop, and it was really beautiful, actually. I'll tell a little bit more about some of the highlights maybe later. But then we went all the way across Salt Lake City and Carbondale, Colorado, through the Rocky Mountains. We did events in Moab, also in Utah and in Denver, and then came across to Wichita. Yeah, we were in Wichita this past Sunday, and then up here to Kansas State University the last couple of days. We did something there, also in Kansas City, and then tomorrow again at the University of, I guess it's Kansas State University again in Lawrence, Kansas, before we continue on eastward. So we're working to spread the vegan message, and all in all, I'd say it's going very well. So Madeline is doing great, and Judy and Michael also. Madeline's right here with me. And it's 7 o'clock p.m. here as we go across, and we're on standard time now. Let's go ahead, I guess, and just have a short meditation, and then we'll dive right in and see what's interesting to people. I guess I'll just invite you. You can either leave your cameras on. A lot of times people like to turn them off for the meditation, but either way is fine. So we'll go ahead and get started. So let's just take a moment and turn our attention within as we do our connection with our meditation time, giving thanks for this precious opportunity that we have to be together in spirit and in truth, in compassion and awareness of the infinite interconnectedness of all life. So we give thanks especially for those who are working with us to help raise awareness about the consequences of animal agriculture and the many benefits of liberating animals. We give thanks for all of the abundance in our lives of resources that we have at our disposal to share the message, to learn and to contribute and to awaken. We give thanks especially to the beautiful beings we share this earth with that we refer to as animals, their grace and their power and their magnificent abilities as they unfold their lives in the air, in the waters, on land, large and small, enriching our lives, making our lives possible. They are really the foundation in many ways of human society and culture. So we give thanks also to all of the wisdom teachings and all the world's religious traditions and wisdom traditions. We give thanks for the communities that gather to help question the official narratives in our society that reinforce the seven deadly sins that I referred to a while back the delusions of pride and greed and lust and envy and gluttony, anger, and sloth. And connect with the seven heavenly virtues that are our true nature of, if I can remember them, humility and charity and chastity and gratitude and patience and temperance and diligence. You know, it's so wonderful to realize we have these qualities of consciousness that are really intrinsic to our true nature, and that as we awaken out of the delusion of being a fundamentally separate self and the fear and aggressiveness that naturally tends to foster within us, that we feel our kinship with not only other human beings and other living beings and this beautiful earth, but also with the source of our life, the infinite love that is the source of our life and the source of all life, and to be a transparent vehicle for the flowing of loving kindness and compassion for all living beings through us, through the 1,440 minutes that we have each day, and to allow our body, speech, and mind to be instruments of the vegan message of ahimsa, nonviolence, and compassion for all living beings. And so let's just take a moment now to generate within our heart the awareness of loving kindness and send that into every cell of our being, that every cell and every organ and every function is a manifestation of infinite love and wisdom and intelligence, and that we send our love not only into every dimension of our own life, but also outward into every dimension of the lives of all beings, supporting them as manifestations of the benevolent universe that we are part of ourselves. Being a radiating center of love for all living beings, without blaming or criticizing or shaming or in any way judging others, understanding that we all have our wounds, and sending loving kindness to all living beings. Breathing and radiating love, and also now connecting with the compassion that is our true nature, the yearning to act to help relieve the suffering of others, to be creative in our endeavors to bring a sense of kindness and respect for all life. So we open to the heart of compassion that is always shining in our own heart, eternally, beyond the physical form, to the being that we are, the infinite life that is beyond the name and form that we identify with. We give thanks that compassion shines through us at every moment for all living beings. And we connect also with the joy of our true nature, the joy that needs no reasons in the material world, because what we are is spiritual beings, and matter can never bring any joy. Joy comes from our true nature spontaneously. As we see the beauty in others and manifest our own awareness, joy is automatic. The joy of being and of contributing. So we allow ourselves to radiate joy to all living beings now. We just send forth joy. May all beings be filled with the joy that is their true nature, and be relieved of suffering and delusion. And finally, we connect with peace, harmony, and tranquility, the basic peace of our true nature. And we see the whole earth now bathed in the light of peace, the whole human family awakening to our true nature as aspects of one life here, with a unique mission of communion and harmony with each other and with the other expressions of life. We see the whole human family healing the delusions that have been flowing through the generations. And we see peace, the truth of peace established everywhere. Even when there is apparent conflict, we see beyond the outer form to the underlying reality. Abiding in peace. Abiding in love, compassion, joy, and peace, radiating and embodying love, compassion, joy, and peace, and knowing that our activism is rooted in the awareness that we are essentially living in unity with the infinite life that is the source of all living beings, that we are all brothers and sisters with all forms of life. And finally, we give thanks knowing that we are part of the awakening of human consciousness on this earth, the awakening of compassion and freedom and sustainability and gratitude and creativity and unity, that we are, as we go forth into our lives, every day more fully awake to the unique mission that we are here to serve in this incarnation. Through the power and presence of the infinite spirit of love and truth and awareness, give thanks, knowing this is so, and so it is. So it is. So I'm sorry that we don't have the piano here, but that's just how it'll be for the next few months, probably. I feel like this picture, I'm so incredibly big, and I'm going to move it back a little bit. All right. So, let's see. We have, we have everybody with us. So, first of all, I'm happy to just leave it wide open at the beginning here to see if anyone has something that you, if any of you have something you'd really like me to address or like out of the group to address, feel free to let us know. And also, I'd like to let you know that Judy is right here and Madeline's here also. So I think we will be probably hearing from them at some point. But Tammy has raised her hand, so I'm happy.
Lily would like to come in after, because I'm not on Zoom, so I'm one of the ones that is just here.
Thanks, like Lily. Okay. All right.
It's so good to hear your voice. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. So, let's see. Tammy, wait a second. We're having some technical.
Judy has some feedback.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Hi.
You're Madeline's here too, yeah. All right, so we're trying to do what we have. We're all in one little house here. So, okay, so Tammy, what do you have? What would you like to share with us? It's great to see your face. Are you in Canada?
Yeah, Alberta.
Alberta, yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. We're having a really warm autumn, so it's nice, you know.
Good. Yeah.
Know that it's nice. Hi, Judy. Good to see you. I'm working at an organization or a community of grandmothers, and not to say much more, but there's just always, you know, I thought about you a lot today, Will, and there's always so many personalities that come up, and I remember you saying, you know, we're not selling anything. We're not pushing anything. We're not doing anything other than being a presence, and that will always have the outcome of peace. I'm really struggling with, not really struggling, but I'm kind of, yeah. I think any time a group of people get together and there's, so what's happening is some of the members feel that we shouldn't welcome everyone in. They shouldn't have to be vegan. And I believe everyone should be able to be part of a community as far as, coming as a guest and sharing with us. but I'm not really sure how I feel about a vegan organization having at the core of it non-vegans.
So is that it? You want me to respond to that?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't really know what else to say because it's kind of hard to put into words.
Right. Well, I personally, my initial response is to agree with you, actually. I think if you have a vision of vegan grandmothers, I mean, you know, like bringing the vegan message through the organization, that it could be jeopardized by non-vegans because they obviously don't have that ideal that you're based on, or they would be vegans, right? I mean, so if they're not vegans, then already, from my point of view, it's jeopardizing the integrity of the organization and the mission that you set up in the initial stages. So it's going to create a lot of unnecessary, I would think, conflict and watering down things. You know, I've seen it in the vegan movement too. I mean, the whole vegan movement is in some ways being infiltrated by people who are really not vegan. I mean, they're plant-based, but it's all about their health, and it has nothing to do with animals, and it's about making money usually, and it's really ruining the movement in a way. I mean, it's harming the integrity of the movement a lot, because there's a different agenda that they have, and I think sometimes it's innocent in a sense. They want the best. They think they're right, and they want us to, you know, acknowledge them and how right they are about what they're doing, I guess. But it's going to create a lot of, I would think. I mean, it seems to be creating conflict, and it dilutes the effectiveness of the movement, right? You have a movement going in three different directions. It's not going to go forward. It's going to go sideways, usually, or backwards. So I think we have to be vigilant and be protective. You know, we have to set boundaries. You know, there's something in the spiritual traditions also, it's called, that I've talked about before, called right association. And like, if you have a monastery, you don't just let in anybody. You can't. In fact, like in Japan, in the old Zen centers, if someone wanted to be a monk in a Japanese monastery, they'd have to go up to the door of the monastery and knock on the door. And then the monk would come out and look at them, and they'd say, "I'd like to become a monk." And then the monk inside the monastery would slam the door in their face and make them wait out there for 3 to 4 days with no food or anything, and then maybe open the door again and see, and maybe give them a little food, and then close the door again. And I mean, you know, you got to prove you really want it. You mean business. That you really value what the organization has. That you're willing to give your life for it. That you're committed to it. That's you know, you're not going to. You have to, that's the whole thing. I mean, it's not like letting in, if they let in people who, in a monastery, who really just want to get free food, because you do get free food, but it's terrible. You know, then the whole spirit of the intensity of the meditation practice gets destroyed. And the people stop giving donations because they see there's a bunch of lazy monks that don't care about anything. And the whole thing collapses. It's gone. It's dead. It's destroyed. It's completely destroyed. Now, so the attitude of the people have to be committed and in alignment and congruent. And then they support each other. Then they build on each other. Then they create cohesion. Then the sum is greater than the parts, right? I mean, that's the whole thing. The whole becomes greater than the parts if everyone has a common foundation. So you got to really be careful, I think. You know, it's like at the farm in Tennessee, in the old days, there was a gate, and it was the same thing. You couldn't get in. You had to get past the gate person. And there was all these homeless people, hippie, all kinds of drug addicts and everything wanted to go to the farm and get free food. And they you had to get by the gate person. The gate person said, get out of here. You're not coming in. You know, one person, we saw, like, at the farm, I think I might have mentioned this, but we had, when I was there, there was about 900 people there. And they made the conscious decision to allow a few people from a local prison to live in the community with them to try to rehabilitate them. And after about 6 months or so, they realized that it had backfired, because those, like, they had maybe six people from the prison who they were trying to, you know, integrate into the community and help them and be, you know, be really loving and kind to them. But they didn't have the same orientation at all. They were coming from a totally different planet, really, in terms of their values. And they had to stop it, because those six people were, like, unraveling the fabric of the entire community and destroying it. So they had to get them out, because they would have ruined it. And so, you know, we all want to be loving and accepting, but that's not the same. When you have an organization or an association that has a purpose, then you better pay attention to the borders. And right association requires that. I mean, that's the whole idea. If you have a small tree and you want it to grow, then you put a little thing around it. Otherwise, it'll get trampled and destroyed. You know, that's the basic idea. And it doesn't mean we don't love the people. We're doing the best we can to help them. But if they're not ready, then that's something that over and over again, you know, can be a real problem. So you have to use your intuition. It's not like there's these rules, but you have to make some rules, I think, or at least some guidelines, and be careful about that. I don't know if I've said too much already, but I think that's an important, very important question that we have to really look at. Because, like, you know, when you're getting into a marriage, you don't just marry anybody, right? I mean, it's like anything. I mean, you're building something. When you're building something, you have to be conscious of who you're partnering with. So, yeah.
Thank you, Will. That was really helpful. And the amount of passion that you said it with, it's how I feel. Yeah, it's just really important, and thank you. And it also got the wheels turning for me in many other things, you know, like a girlfriend that wants to come and live with me. And I'm like, yeah, that's good. Let me just really look at this relationship and keep her at the gate for a while. So, thank you. Yeah, just a lot of things. It really got a lot, you know, a lot of wheels in motion to really, you know, be a gatekeeper. And just even the analogy of being a gatekeeper of ourselves and then really taking that boundary and leaving it in place. Yeah, thank you.
Great, thanks. So I remember my old Zen teacher, he said, because we talked about boundaries sometimes, and because it seems like you're putting up a wall, kind of a thing. And I asked him about setting boundaries, and then he said something, I'm not sure if it's helpful, but he said, you're not setting boundaries, you're fulfilling them, fulfilling boundaries. As another word, it gives a different feeling about it. You're allowing the boundary to be fulfilled through you. You're not like, it's not a dualistic, like, I don't want you here. It's just you're fulfilling the larger function of wisdom that's functioning through you with wisdom to fulfill a boundary that's healthy. You know, something like that. Great. Okay. Lily, I know you are next up here if you'd like to say something.
Thank you. Oh, thank you so much. It's so, your voice is like music. I love your piano, but just hearing you speak is very soothing to my soul. And I totally agree with everything you just said. Of course, I wouldn't be married to a person who wasn't vegan. And I wouldn't allow anybody who wasn't vegan to live with me, because I couldn't do it. And I also called Unity Church and asked them, I said, your founders were vegan, and why don't you let, you know what I'm talking about, Will.
Right, right.
Why don't you go back to the old ideas of your founders that founded this church And they said, well, we don't want to make it be exclusive. So I said to them, I said, well, you want to exclude a whole dynamic of creatures on the planet so that you can let a few people in so that you won't be considered exclusive. And so anyway, I totally agree with what you said. And what I just called about was that we're all part of this too. You probably know this, but I heard about it today, and beloved Karen Davis, the founder of United Poultry Concerns, died about a week ago, and I didn't know. I'm a member, and I'm not online, but I get the quarterly newsletter, and she was such a wonderful, wonderful person. It's this time of year that we are, that we celebrate the death of all these beautiful animals that she championed for 40 years. She had this monastery for animals, this beautiful United Poultry Concerns sanctuary for chickens and turkeys and all kinds of birds that people are, it's the lowest of the low. It's the most maligned animals on the planet are these poor animals. And I'm so sad. She was just 79. I'm so sad to see such a light in the world no longer with us here on the planet. It always made me feel good to know she was out there championing it. And I noticed the last time I called her, she didn't return my call, and I wondered about that. Now I know she was very ill. So I just wanted to let everyone know, keep a good thought, say a prayer for the wonderful Karen Davis, the wonderful Karen Davis. And I'm so grateful I'm a vegan. And hearing your sweet voice, I'm thinking, wouldn't have become a vegan if it hadn't been for you and Madeline and the World Peace Diet. Because I read that book. It had only been in publication for 1 year when I read it. And I became vegan, and it really, it's my guiding light. So thank you so much. Well, I hope you're having a really marvelous trip.
Thank you, Lily. I really appreciate your bringing up everything you said in the World Peace Diet, but also, of course, Karen Davis. And yeah, let's just have maybe 10 seconds of silence for Karen. I'd like to do that. Let's just take a moment and just hold her beautiful light and presence in our hearts and give thanks for her presence in our movement and in our world. Thank you. Thank you, Karen. Yeah, she's, I knew her for probably 40 years, and I was always impressed. You know, she was passionate from the very beginning when I first met her. I remember it was funny because way, way back in the very beginning, probably in 1996 or something like that, I was at a conference. I think Madeline, we were traveling, and we were at a conference in Florida where she spoke and I spoke. And it was before the World Peace Diet came. I just played the piano, played the piano for it, and she was one of the speakers. And it was really neat because they had a panel of three people, you know, like seasoned vegans, which she was even back then. And they asked the panel about if you're going out to dinner with someone who's not a vegan, is it a good idea to talk about veganism while people are not eating vegan food, while they're eating non-vegan food? And the other two people at the on the panel went first, and they both said they thought it was not a good idea. They said, you know, if you're with people who are eating meat, it's better not to bring it up because they're going to be resistant. They're not going to like it to hear it. They'll probably think you vegans are too pushy and all that. And so they said, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't try to promote veganism while people are eating meat. And then it was Karen Davis's turn. She said, I disagree. It's always a good time to talk about veganism. It's always a good time to tell people they should go vegan. I go by when people, I saw some girls the other day, they were eating chicken. And I went over and I said, do you know what you're eating? You know, you're eating chicken. You're eating animals. You know, I think it'd be a good idea to look at that. And they were just, you know, she just saw them out, like at a cafe outside at an outside table, and she just talked to them. You know, she said, I think you should never shut up. You should always be a voice for these animals. These animals don't have a voice. If you're not their voice, they don't have a voice. I mean, she was just like right on it, you know, totally. And I think her, that spirit was so beautiful, and it really uplifted the whole movement, really, the whole time, because she was, her purpose was to be the voice of these animals, because she saw them not as animals. They're people like us. They have interests, and they're being horribly abused in every possible way. And when we understand that, we have an obligation. I mean, she felt that, you know, we have an obligation to speak up and to respond to the situation and not just ignore it and play it safe. And, no, we can always have disagreements about tactics, but I always admired her forthrightness and just willingness to put it out there. And even when people thought she was wrong about things, she didn't really change. She just kept saying what she thought and was completely dedicated to these animals. And the good news, I have to say, from a little bit I know, is that I didn't really realize it because she was active right up till the end, but apparently for the last several years she's been challenged with cancer and had been somewhat in and out of hospitals, and she had just been able to keep, even with that, she was continuing on and writing and articles and so forth. And the good news is that from what I've heard from sort of a little bit inside people is that she was able to really do a good job to make sure that United Poultry Concerns is continuing on in capable hands, and it's not gonna just fizzle off. A lot of times when the founder dies and the whole thing dies, but she apparently has been, you know, very aware of that, and it's not too much of a shock. People knew that she was, her health was deteriorating for a while. So we're continuing to make donations to United Poultry Concerns, because I think, you know, it's a great thing that she started. One of the only ones that Madeline and I just think we'll never stop giving, because a lot of the other ones we said, the heck with them, they're not doing it anymore, really. But hers is really, you know, to me, it's the real thing, because that was how she was. And she was right in what's called Delmarva, you know, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, that peninsula, which is the most concentrated chicken factory farming in the whole United States, and one of the most concentrated in the whole world. And she was right in the middle of that with her little sanctuary, and just rescuing these animals and speaking out on radio and wherever she could at conferences and so forth. And so we just love Karen, and we send our appreciation to her spirit, knowing that it's continuing on here through us as best we can, for sure. So thank you, Lily. I really appreciate it.
Brave soul. And I always love the photographs of her holding a turkey up to her, a chicken up to her.
Right.
She was so sweet. She was so dear. Thanks, Will.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Melon, go ahead.
Yeah. I like to add something. When I talked to Karen, then she told me, you know, Karen is like a cat or a dog. She likes the best upholstered chair, and likes to be cuddled and all that, like a cat or dog.
Karen? Karen Davis?
Davis, yeah. The chicken likes to be...
You mean the chicken?
Yeah, the chicken likes the best...
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, you understand.
No, you didn't say it right. The chicken likes to be, so Karen, say it again.
I was so touched, because she told me, do you know that the chicken actually is like a dog or a cat, and likes the best chair, the softest and everything, and is just in there and likes to be cuddled.
Right.
Now I have a story about.
Yeah, it's neat, you know, because we've been to a number of sanctuaries over the years, and like some of these people have chickens that are live in their house like a dog or a cat and is part of the family, and they have personalities, of course, and they're just like us, really. That's the thing. So
that walked a chicken on a leash in Venice near my mother's home when I would go down there and walk my dogs.
Yeah, is that right?
A chicken on a leash. Yeah.
They're amazing. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, there's a lot we can say, but thanks, Lily. Yeah. Okay, let's see. We have a few other people that raised hands. I think, Gino, you had yours up. Are you still have yours up, or are you good? You're good? Okay. Margie, you have your hand up?
Hi there.
Hi, Margie. Yeah.
Hey.
Where are you? Are you in Vermont, or are you moving south?
Actually, Maine.
Maine, wow.
Packing up, you know, thinking of you saying that last week, you were packing up, and man, you've made some tracks already, you two.
Yeah, we have.
Across the country. So, yeah, I'll be heading south in the next week, and so I will catch you in Florida this winter. So looking forward to that and seeing you and Madeline and Lisa. I feel a newer vegan practicer in the last few years. This is the first year where I have had this strong feeling recently of I do not want to be at a Thanksgiving with a dead turkey on the table. And, you know, before, just gone with it and practice acceptance but this year it's just such a strong feeling for me. And then I'm feeling like, okay, I've had invitations to Friendsgivings and family. And I just feel like I don't want to go. And yet it makes me feel like I'm rejecting, I'm isolating, So the conversation earlier was helpful and about acceptance and being with others and sharing, my message and living by example. So, there's that part. But I don't know, I just wanted to put that out there. Like, wow, it just makes me want to stay away from any table that has that dead animal on it this year.
Where will you be? Will you still be in Maine?
I don't know. Actually, I'm going to be probably on the road, so I have a couple of options, and I may just be driving on Thursday, So.
Yeah, I really appreciate you bringing that up. This is one of the hardest times of the year for vegans, I think, a lot of times.
Yeah.
I mean, the holiday season and family gets together, and then the vegans show up, and it's tricky because there's different ways of handling it. Some vegans refuse to go unless the whole thing's vegan. Some vegans bring vegan food to the turkey table and eat that while the others eat the turkey. There's various ways of handling it. I think Madeline and I are probably more like you. I don't think I would be there. I would not want to be there, actually. I mean, when we lived in Hidden Valley, we still live in Hidden Valley, but when we're there, we always made sure there was a vegan Thanksgiving so that people could gather and have a vegan Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving Day. And sometimes we get a lot. Sometimes we had like 40 or 50 people. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So we travel, we try to do that. And so I quite honestly, at this point, I'm sure we'll find that. And since we'll be in Cincinnati, and so far I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I think it'll happen. But so far I don't know. I'm still waiting till we get there. And we have 4 events, so I'll be asking. And I guess we'll be trying to instigate a vegan Thanksgiving if there isn't one already. because I think it's really beautiful to have vegan Thanksgivings. I mean, it's fantastic. The food is amazing, and we can be thankful without stabbing an animal. I mean, the whole thing is completely counterproductive from my point of view to be thankful, at the expense of when it's unnecessary. Some people think it's good to go and be a voice at if there is a turkey there, and I don't have any judgment of that, if that's how someone feels. But as time goes on, I think I did that in sometimes in the early years. But nowadays, it seems like it's so much, it's so important that we make a statement and not support violence. And so everyone can make their decision on how to do that. But there are alternatives. I mean, there's so many. There's Unturkey. There's tofurkeys and all that. And what do? We usually do something like a pumpkin, stuffed pumpkin, or you can do all kinds of festive celebration dishes. But the main thing, really, gratitude is and compassion go together. Right? We shouldn't be grateful when we're stealing and harming. That's like satanic. I mean, that's crazy to be grateful and thankful as I abuse another. That doesn't go together at all. I mean, it's perverse. So gratitude and compassion go together. We're grateful that we can share a life together and build a more beautiful world together. That's what gratitude is all about. It's an expression of having received love, then we're grateful. So if we're receiving love, we're grateful. But causing suffering to animals is not really receiving love. It's like stealing and harm, and it's the opposite. So being grateful for that, to me, it warps our whole society. Kids are raised with that, and I think it really messes us up, until we awaken out of it. It's kind of like it puts us into this trance of separation and domination and exploitation, and it allows that, and it kind of allows war, allows elitism, and a whole lot of things, because that's the subtext of these meals. When we say we're so grateful and we come together around this dead animal, and what does that really do? Because it's all kinds of abuse are manifested right there, and then we're eating it. So it's this massive mixed message that really, and to me, it epitomizes the situation that we're in. It's just sort of, there it is. You can see the whole thing. And then it happens a couple of weeks later. It happens on Christmas, the other great loving thing, and you do it again. They're like, hammer it in again, even harder. And, as we celebrate the Savior, and then we become the opposite of a Savior. We become a slaughterer, It's like, why don't we save these animals if we want to celebrate the Savior, if we're going to celebrate this idea of the divine mercy, then why don't we be a vehicle of divine mercy? It's not only empathetic, but it's logical. I mean, it's not logical or rational or intuitive or anything. It's just complete crazy making, really, to me. It's just, especially nowadays when we have within our power very easily to eat healthy, nutritious, plant-based foods that really are a celebration. So that's something we all have to deal with in our own way, but I appreciate you bringing it up because it's definitely a big thing. And one thing that's interesting, I'm not sure the details, but our good friend and colleague Claire Mann from Australia, who wrote Vistopia, which is a really good book about when vegans go vegan and then they feel like they're in a dystopian world because everybody's violent and they can't seem to make an impression. So she talks about the psychological difficulties of that. She's putting on a summit or kind of like a large scale conference training online thing. And she just invited me to be part of it. And the whole focus of it in many ways is what we're talking about, how to deal with holidays and with friends and family when we're vegans, and how to create contexts that are supportive not only of us and our life, but also respectful of them, but also help raise awareness about the whole situation in a skillful way. So I really think it's important to go deep into these topics to think about what actually works the best, in terms of not only our own health and happiness and, physical health and mental health, but also for others, because it doesn't do any good if we just go along with it, but it also probably doesn't do any good if we really abuse them or criticize and shame them and so forth. So to find ways to interact that plant seeds that can help move the whole awareness higher of people who are still eating animal foods, to be a good example. And we had a talk here last night in Kansas City at Gigi's vegan restaurant. And somebody asked me that question. She said, I think it's wonderful what you're saying, that we can help the vegan movement by being a good example. But what can we actually do more than that? And that was kind of the thing, you know. And I thought that's a good question, because we can do more than that. We can be a good example, but we can also be creative. Being creative is unlimited. Like, be creative. Like, make a video, do a cooking class, write a book, talk to people. There's infinite varieties of, you know, get political. There's so many things we can actually do, but to have the foundation of loving kindness without trying to change them, but rather to plant seeds. I think that's the big thing. When we come across like we're trying to change people, they just resist, and we very often we go backwards. If we come at them like we're right and they're wrong, we just reinforce this dualism that makes it harder for them maybe to ever change. They just get more resistant. So to plant seeds with love and kindness and respect in a creative way, that's what we're challenged with. And I think if there's, you know, 5 million vegans, there should be 5 million ways of doing that until they grow up. And we should all find our own way of planting our seeds. And because we all have our unique talents and skills and abilities and situations and conditions that we're in, moment to moment and so forth. And so we can use music and art and all kinds of things to help people to look at this in another way. But the underlying, I think, is the example and then the inner work, so that we're embodying ahimsa, as Judy emphasizes this, this nonviolent approach, I think is really the key to the whole thing. So thanks Margie, for bringing
all
that
right.
up. I appreciate it. And, Judy, I wanted to say that, you know, we have with us Judy, Carmen, because we're here actually, right in her home. And, Lily was just talking, Judy, I think you probably heard it, about recently calling Unity and asking them directly, like, why are you going against the founders of Unity, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, who explicitly promoted compassion for animals and refused to eat animal foods. And now the whole movement of Unity has forgotten that. Can you maybe, I think it was just a couple of weeks ago that you were part of the, and I actually spoke there too, but you were a little more part of it than I was, the Unity retreat, the retreat at Unity Village right here in Kansas City, outside Kansas City, how all that went and anything that you kind of learned or you'd like to share about that, because I think this is an important thing, actually.
Yeah. And Lily, thank you for doing that. Hang on just a minute. Can we turn yours all the way down? We've got two computers going here. If he turns his... Okay, can you hear me now?
That's better. Yeah, that's better. That's good.
Let me get my speaker up a little bit. Is that better?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. So, it was called Peace Begins With Me. And I don't know if you heard me, Lily, but thank you for calling the Unity Church and confronting them with that. I think it's very important. And the way you worded that was really something. They're excluding all the animals in order to include a few people. And this was the third annual retreat, and Reverend Carol Saunders, who is a Unity minister, put this on. And I'm telling you, I've been to all three, and they've all been wonderful, and I wish you all could have been there, or that you could come next year, and the date is already set for October 17th through the 20th. Just a wonderful group of people that came together. And we did a lot of talking about Unity, because it took place at Unity Village, where the Fillmores first started teaching their teachings, which involved almost veganism. It wasn't pure veganism as far as we know, but this was way back before the word vegan was invented. And they even had
Bibles that were bound in a special kind of thing that wasn't leather, that was not from animals.
Right.
And Reverend Carroll has a booklet that's filled with Charles Fillmore's sayings that came from his many writings about animals and how we will have wars as long as we're eating animals. And so they both taught stringently that was a big part of their teaching, which they were not calling it a religion at the time. But they also had created a vegetarian restaurant in Kansas City. And it was a very large restaurant and well known. And Kansas City is a big meat place. It's famous for its barbecues. The slaughterhouse used to be downtown when I was a little girl. The smell was really horrible. And of course they moved that out, which made it easier for more people to eat more meat because they were so far removed from what was really going on. But the Fillmores were not, and they were teaching about that. So at the retreat, we had Will speak remotely. We had several remote speakers, and we had Vince Tucker and Joshua Awesome, who helped with the tech stuff, and they just did a great job. And because that is not easy, and Will, you even were able to hear questions and answer questions.
Right, yeah.
Kind of like a Zoom in a way. So it worked great. But we also had, I'll show you the card. I don't know if you can see it. The beautiful artwork. And then it was Peace Begins With Me. And we had Renee King, the founder of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary, gave the main talk. And she was so emotional and so passionate. It just touched lots of people. And there were pre-vegans there who were just extremely moved by her and all the speakers. And we also had Joanne Farb, who gave a real inspiring talk. And Sarah Bowen, Reverend Sarah Bowen, and Silas Rao was there, and of course Reverend Carol Saunders. And there was yoga. We had music. Sally Zito did music for us, and interestingly, she and Carol rewrote the words to the Peace Begins With Me. So if any of you all go to Unity Churches, you know. Have at the end of the service, everybody stands in a circle and sings Peace Begins With Me, and then they all go off and eat meat at lunch. So the words that we sang were rewritten to include animals, and it was really, really amazing. So we had also a labyrinth that is right next to the chapel where we met, which is just a gorgeous labyrinth that is brand new that we were able to walk on, and walking paths, hiking paths, it's just beautiful grounds. And I think the thing that's so inspiring to all of us is that the Fillmores had that vision that we are not here to harm animals. We're here to be loving to everyone, and that includes all beings and all of nature. So it was just really, I think, educational for people who didn't realize that about the Fillmores, and of course very educational for those who were not vegan yet, and many of them I'm sure will become vegan. We had two different restaurants. Gigi's health, is it, what is it? Gigi's
vegan
health cafe, vegan health cafe, is or all organic. She did all the lunches, and Cafe Gratitude did all the dinners, and people were just like swooning over the food. It was so good, and I think everybody gained a little weight because we're not used to eating that much, and it was so good. And it was organic and vegan. So what a testimony to the people who weren't vegan yet, to see how wonderful the food can be. But anyway, I hope you all can come next year. You go in order to look at, you know, what Carol's saying right now is you go to thespiritualforum.org. And you can see all about what she does and also about the retreat and some of her ideas. She has, for anybody who does go to a Unity church, she has these little booklets that she wrote called The Forgotten Teachings of Charles Fillmore. And she's really encouraging people to take those booklets and go to their church and try to get a group to read them and study them. Or at the very least, give a talk about it on a Sunday morning and, you know, go through some of the quotes that'll blow people's minds. Mm-hmm. If they've been going to Unity for a long time, they probably never heard any of those statements because they were all pretty much wiped out in the 40s. So when the Fillmores were getting older and other people were taking over. So, yeah, so it was great, very inspiring, and just a great event. And it was great to have Will there with us, even though it was on the Zoom.
Right, yeah, it was, and I was glad. I was there 2 years ago when we did the first one. Madeline and I were both there, as you were, of course. And, yeah, it's good to see, you know, that it's going. And one thing I just want to add to what you said is the, there are people at Unity Village, especially the CEO of Unity Worldwide Ministries, Shad Groverland, is a vegan. He's a top guy. And I think I told you he, a year and a half ago or so, maybe 2 years ago, he had us come to Unity Village and actually give a talk to the whole staff about the importance of veganism for the Unity movement, how it was a foundational teaching. And we had dinner with him. Actually, he has a tiny house that he moved from Boulder, where he's from, onto the Unity Village campus. It's really tiny. It's, you know, a tiny house. It's like, I don't know what, maybe 200 square feet. And he and his wife, Irina, live in it with a little dog. And so we had dinner with them. And then the talk last night, Shad and Irina came to our talk last night in Kansas City. So we were able to talk quite a bit with them, and they're really working hard to reintroduce the vegan ideals of the founders and try to help Unity get back to its original teachings. There's a lot of resistance, of course, because most of the ministers and congregants are not. They're pre-vegans, as we say, but you know, it's. I'm so glad that he's able to be there, and there are others also in the movement that are open to this at the top, in the top administration. So it's good to just keep planting those seeds wherever we are. I mean, if you're not in Unity, that's fine. Maybe in whatever, if you're whatever religion or other social groups you're involved with. I think the religions, as you know, how I feel about it, I think they, authentic religions really need to be including animals as part of their teachings. To ignore that seems to be ignoring something very important. So it's good to see this happening, and see Reverend Carol continuing on. Madeline and I actually, over 30 years ago, we were at every workshop, we handed out these pamphlets of Charles Fillmore's teachings on veganism, because we went to the library and we looked it all up, and he has many articles, and his son Royal, he had three sons, who was had a weekly column in the Unity magazine. He had a weekly Unity magazine, and every single week he wrote passionately about the importance of veganism, vegetarianism, he called it. But he also talked against dairy. He said we shouldn't be eating dairy or meat, you know, and of course that's what he called vegetarianism. No dairy, no meat, no eggs. We should let our animals live freely. He was even saying how it's better for the environment, it's better for the water, better for the soil. He was saying how it's so much better for people's health, of course, and for the animals and for people's spirituality. And so these ideas go way back thousands of years, and Charles and Myrtle Fillmore and their son Royal especially really embodied them, all right, through their lives. And it's a we can continue on. I mean, I think that's what we're doing. Every generation has to we have to find our way of bringing these teachings. So thanks, Judy, for helping out with that so much. I know you're really involved, and it's fantastic because there's not many Christian traditions that have such a strong vegan foundation, actually, that it's really right there. And, I mean, although I think Christianity itself does, it's been covered up too. But actually, that brings us to another topic I'll just mention briefly, which is the new movie, Christspiracy, which we have seen and which I am in a little bit. I have a part, I'm in there, giving Kip Anderson, who did Cowspiracy, has created, he's been working on this for years. He interviewed us, remember, I think it was 6 years ago, but it's now finally actually seeing the light of day. And I think Lisa, you were there last year when we had the showing, I believe, in West Palm Beach. We did a whole screening of Christspiracy about it last February, and it went very well. The room was packed with people, and everybody loved it. It's a great movie, and so I hope you can support it in some way, either financially or just spread the word. They're working to really get it out there. As you may know, Christspiracy kind of follows the same pattern as some of his other movies, What the Health and Cowspiracy, where he's taking basically this idea that animals are here to be used. That's what the religions more or less say. And it starts out with Kip and his main partner in this is a man named Cameron. And Cameron is a Christian, real Christian, and goes to church. And he asks the question, how do you kill an animal in a spiritual way? You know, he asked this of the ministers and so forth. How do you do that in a compassionate way or a spiritual way? And it's a really profound question because it pretty much stumps them every single one. Even the hardcore meat eaters, they don't know what to say. It's like, well, it's really hard to kill an animal in a spiritual way. it's a contradiction. And so it kind of the movie really explores this, and with all the religions too. It says it focuses a lot on Christianity, but also Judaism, Buddhism, Islam, Hinduism, and he goes to India. He goes all over the world on this thing, and the main thing really is that he's showing that Jesus himself is tremendous evidence that he was at the temple. He was rebelling against the killing of animals. That was the whole scene at the temple where he threw out the money changers. It wasn't about them cheating. It was about them killing. So it goes into the whole thing. I won't spoil it for you, but it's some very interesting archaeological information that comes out. And it has you on the edge of your seat. It's very well done. So that's great to see. And maybe, yeah, that will help to awaken people more who are in spiritual or religious communities, especially, I think, Christians, Buddhists, anyone. There's some really good teachings there. All right, so what else? Madeline, do you want to say anything? You're in the middle of your cutting. You're good. You're good. Okay, she's good. Does anyone else have any comments or questions or concerns right now? Before that, let me just say a couple of things. Just to catch everybody up, I mentioned earlier that we're going along on our tour. It's going well. We had really great events by local activists in Salt Lake City. We spoke at a Hare Krishna temple, and a lot of people from the community came, Hare Krishna people and other people, and we sold books and signed books and so forth. And then we went to Moab, Utah, which is right at the gateway of Arches National Park. I had no idea. I'd never been there, but it is really beautiful. We've been to Sedona many times, and everybody oohs and ahs over the beautiful red rock formations in Sedona. And you go to Arches, and it's like Sedona times 100. I mean, it's just incredible. It just goes on and on. These beautiful cathedrals of red stones and balancing rocks and arches, and you drive for miles and miles. And it's not like Sedona where people live there. This is all out in a national park. And it's and even outside the national park, it's really spectacular. But anyway, in the town of Moab, there's an alternative community that is kind of like old hippies in a way, but they have organic, vegan, a whole community, and then the whole town knew about it because we were on the radio, we were on the newspaper, and so we had a great event there at a place called the helipad, like a helicopter pad, they call it. It's where people come to bring new ideas. You know, it's one of these. So that was great. And then we went up to Carbondale, Colorado, which is high up in the mountains. It's right at the, right next to Aspen and Vail, ski areas. And so that was cold. We stayed in our little van. It was only 23 degrees inside the van. We were sleeping. And it was a thrill, right, Madeline?
Yeah.
We
had ice roses.
We had frost on the inside of our windows and everything. But anyway, we survived the night. But it was a great event. They have a beautiful, community space there where people can come and give talks. All kinds of local groups can use it for their meetings. I mean, it's like, why doesn't every town have that? It was fantastic. So we had a really successful, great event there, and then we drove into Denver. We had to go across two 11,000 foot passes, and luckily the day before we would have needed chains, which we didn't have, or anything like that. But that day it was good, so we got over okay and we got down into Denver. And in Denver we had an event there that went great, and then we went from there on to to Wichita and the Unity Church. And we do. We bring the vegan message in to the Unity churches whenever we speak on Sunday morning, which we're doing every Sunday from now until Christmas, and also in January. But anyway, so we're going through Unity churches on Sundays and doing a workshop like we did in the afternoon, and then we did a few events here in this area, thanks to Judy and a few other people, especially Judy and some other folks that helped set things up here at the university and in Kansas City at the restaurant. And then we're heading on tomorrow to Columbia, where there's another Unity Church. We'll be speaking there and promoting veganism at that church. We've been to a lot of these Unity churches already many times over the years, or a few times anyway. And then on to Cincinnati, which is one of the hotbeds of veganism is Cincinnati. And we have a lot of friends there who are vegans and have put on VegFest that we've spoken at over the years and so forth, and then also to Cleveland and Columbus, and the Unity Church in Columbus is coming up, and then down to Washington, D.C., where there's a wonderful organic vegan restaurant, a woman who also goes to Hippocrates Health Institute, which was like last night, Gigi also went to Hippocrates Health Institute, and it's so neat. I'll just tell you that story briefly because I think this is the key thing. You know, Gigi is a woman, she's a black woman, who about 5 years ago was diagnosed with colon cancer, and she was told by the doctors that she has to have chemotherapy and surgery. And so her children and her friends and family and everybody said, go and get yourself taken care of at the hospital. And she was a carnivore. She just had this feeling that she didn't want to do it. She didn't want to do that. She just did not want to do it. And so she just said, I'm not going. And she said, I don't know where that came from. I don't know why I said it, but I just told them I'm not going. And they had a fit. You know, her family, her kids, everybody, they said, what are you crazy? You've got to go. You're going to die if you don't get the doctors to help you with your cancer. And she said, I'm afraid if I do, I'll probably die from all their chemotherapy. So she just didn't want to do it, and she didn't, but she didn't know what to do. What am I going to do? I don't know what to do, but I'm not going to do that. And then somehow she heard about Hippocrates, and she read about it, and she heard of the people go there, and they get off their cancer medications, or their cancer goes away, and she thought, gosh, you know, I would love to go there. But she didn't have the money. I mean, it's pretty expensive to go to Hippocrates. And so then, out of the blue, a woman who was a friend of hers said, you know what? We want you to go to Hippocrates. If that's what you want to do, we're going to make it happen. And so her friend did a whole fundraiser for her, and all her friends and family and everybody started making donations, and she actually raised, for Gigi, she raised, I think, almost $20,000, which was enough for her to go there and just dive into the Hippocrates thing, and her cancer was cured. It's gone. She went back to Kansas City, and then she was on fire. You know, she was telling all her friends and family that you got to go vegan, you got to go vegan. You can heal, you can lose weight, you can be happy and healthy like me. Look at this, I don't have cancer anymore. I mean, do it. And nobody would listen to her. they were like, oh, come on. You know? And so then she went back to take the training. They have actually at that point they still have it, but at that point it was on campus. The Hippocrates Health Educator program. She went to that. So while she was in that, Madeline and I came by and we gave a talk. This was probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago at Hippocrates. And she heard me speak and she said that transformed her because her whole thing up to that point was just health. It's healthy. It's healthy. It's healthy. You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to be healthy. And then she said when Madeline and I came to her Hippocrates Health, we gave some lectures for the trainees. She said she suddenly realized, oh my gosh, it's also about the animals. It's not just my health, it's the animals. They're getting slaughtered and killed and oh my gosh. And so her whole motivation went to a whole different level. And she's gone on in Kansas City to become a legend. She started their veg fest. They have these veg fests every year that draw hundreds of people, you know, big veg fests. And then she goes back to Hippocrates, and we were there last year, and it was so neat because the Hippocrates magazine, they have a monthly magazine. It's printed. It's a really nice magazine. And Gigi was on the cover of the magazine. It was so cool to see. I was the editor of it. I mean, I was the editor, but they had me edit the thing because they didn't have a good editor. But it was so neat to see. And now her newest thing, so we were at her restaurant last night, and her newest thing is, we found out she just got a $30,000 grant from the city. She had this idea, you know, Kansas City is famous for barbecue. Everybody comes for their barbecue, and they have all this barbecue in Kansas City, and it's this big thing. So she thought, we should have a big barbecue contest and invite the greatest barbecue chefs in the country to come and have it all be vegan. The whole thing is vegan. And so the city, she went to the city with this, and she asked for $100,000. And they said, no, we're not going to give you $100,000, but we will give you $30,000. So they actually gave her, they're going to give her, they've agreed to give her $30,000 if she can get everything together to put this on. So that's what I mean. It's like, you know, these creative ideas, try something. And you never know where it will lead. But it was really neat. Like when we were there last night, before I spoke, we had dinner with these two people. They were black people that were, friends, I guess they just heard about it. It was a great crowd, and the woman told me how she had lost 160 pounds going there, and the man said he had, you know, he was 300 pounds, and he was down to a healthy weight of about 180. So you know, it's just so beautiful to see how, again, like we keep saying, one person who just plugs in and puts one foot in front of the other and inspires other people, and that's happening all the time. So, and she was the one that ended up also, as Judy said, catering all the meals, all the lunches for this event at Unity Village, Gigi. So it's something that to just keep in mind that there's angels everywhere, and we are angels ourselves. You know, however we do it, not to compare, not to say somebody's doing more than somebody else, but just to realize that we're all supporting each other. And everything we do to help raise awareness helps other people to do the same thing. And not to worry about the result, just do the best we can. That's the main thing. So that's where we're at right now, and then we'll continue south, and we'll be, I guess, in next month, which will be the first Thursday of December, we'll be already, I guess, we'll still be in Ohio, but then we'll be, by the third Thursday, a month from now, we'll be in Florida. We'll be in Florida then for the next one. So we'll look forward, I guess, if all goes well. We never know, but that's the plan anyway. Does anyone else have something that they wanted to share? I think there was one other thing I just wanted to emphasize before I forget, which is that the resources for November 2023 is up, and there's quite a lot there that's interesting. I did an interview on my new book, Food for Freedom, and I wanted to give an update about that. It's been at the publishers since September. It's finished. And it's now going through the book designing process, which is taking longer than I would have hoped, but it's going to be ready in 2 weeks at the end of this month. And then it has to go to an indexer, then it has to go to the printer. So realistically, it may not be out until later in December. And then I thought, well, if it's going to come out in December, maybe we should just make it January 1st. Yeah, I come out the very first of 2024. It might be that. We'll see. But anyway, it's definitely on the way. It'll be born soon, and we're excited about that, of course. So I just want to let you know, if you go to the resources, there's an interview that I did that came out really well. There's a link to it on Food for Freedom, on the new book and the main ideas. There's also a website here you can go to. We just had... there was a contest for the best vegan sermon, and I had actually entered that contest put on by In Defense of Animals, actually by the Interfaith Vegan Coalition, and I found out that I won the award for my sermon that I gave at the Unity Church in Lecanto, Florida, a while back. So that's good. So you can, if you want, you can learn about that, and you can actually watch my sermon if you want to see it. But I'm really honored to have awarded the winner of their first annual vegan sermon contest, because I think we really need to bring this message into the churches and the spiritual communities. And then there was another lecture. We gave a lecture in good old Healdsburg, California, where we used to live many years ago. And we had a gathering there, about a month ago, and somebody took, videos, and that's up online. You can watch if you like. We also posted a video of Madeline's extra striding, which I think came out great. That's something that she does every single day. And it's a wonderful exercise routine, because you're not just walking, you're actually using your arms like you're a four-legged being, like you're a four-legged. And so your shoulders and core and arms are getting really exercised, as well as the legs. So it's like a full-body workout, and she gives a little demo. So I helped her with that. We did that together. There's an announcement about Karen Davis, of course. A special article on Rowdy Girl Sanctuary in Bon Appetit magazine, which is a huge magazine with millions of readers. They did a feature article on Rowdy Girl Sanctuary, and that's really good news. That's unusual. And also, we have a new World Peace Diet facilitator. She just went through our program, Laura Matney, and she has a great website with where I eat and what I eat and where I get it. Summary of vegan food. It's really got a lot of great information. Just if you want to help people, if you want to learn yourself, the healthy vegan foods, whole foods, and other foods that are more convenience foods, and how to get them. And then quite a bit of others, this news and articles you can go through here. There's a lot happening. This one article I thought was fascinating. How one woman, she's a Swiss woman, it's called 130 Farms and Counting, how one woman is transforming animal agriculture. This is a true story. This woman, this Swiss woman, she was an animal, she had her own cows, and she was slaughtering them with her husband. It was a small farm in Switzerland, but she kind of woke up and became a vegan and thought, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make a sanctuary here, and a small sanctuary. But then she started talking to other farmers in Switzerland, and then it kind of went beyond that to Germany and France. but in Belgium and, you know, that area. But in general, she counsels farmers on how to get out of animal agriculture and into something else, either plant agriculture or into a sanctuary and not killing animals anymore. And she has now helped convert 135 animal agriculture operations away from animal agriculture. I mean, isn't that like one woman? 135. It's a great video just to watch it. It's not very long, and it's really inspiring to see, again, what one person can do when they have an idea and they just go about it. And it's fantastic. I mean, it's just the greatest thing to see these kinds of things happening. So go ahead and go through all these things. There's so many things here. We're living in really intense times, all kinds of stuff going on. To me, everything's interconnected. So I won't go on too much longer than that, but we only have 10 minutes left. So let me see if we have any pressing questions, and we should probably begin to wrap it up here. Anyone have a pressing question? Lisa Wong has your hand up. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Toto. Hi, Madeline. Hi, everyone. So exciting that you're on your way to Florida here. I wish I am be there with your trip, just like I did last year.
Right. You were with us the whole way last year. Yeah, I remember. It was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, we'll see you in Florida now.
Right. I am still in West Palm Beach, Florida. And you mentioned about the Christ-Pharisee. You thought I was there at the screening. I actually missed it because I was at the Vet Fest.
Right, right.
Right. Like, even though I didn't watch the movie, I hear a lot of good things from you, from Bridget, from a lot of people that have watched it. So I'm actually really excited to help them promote that documentary. The latest I heard of that the producers are doing, they launched the Kickstarter fundraiser for the movie, and I put in the chat for everyone to join their secret Facebook group, and I encourage everyone to join and see what you can do locally to help spread the word. Bridget and I over here in Florida, South Florida, we started talking to Cameron to promote the documentaries to do screening in our area here. So I just wanted to share that opportunity. Don't know when the official launch is, but we can do whatever we can to help out, and whether it's, you know, donate financially or just help spread the word, I think we could do that.
Thanks, Lisa. That's really great. That reminds me of two things I wanted to say. One is that the main filmmaker in this movie is Kip Anderson, and he's one of us. I mean, he's a World Peace Diet facilitator. He went through our training in Cincinnati back about 2008, and he was just a new vegan at that point, and he told me he wanted to make a video about the World Peace Diet, and he did it in three videos. You know, he did it in Cowspiracy, What the Health, and now Christspiracy, and this brings in the spiritual part. And so anything we can do to support Kip, I think, is great, because he's really part of the family and a wonderful person, and Cameron, too, who's also a part of this. And the other thing I just wanted to say is that this movie has been basically finished, and they were in partnership with Netflix, because Cowspiracy and What the Health were big successes because of Netflix, and Netflix got it out to millions of people, and they were partnered on Netflix for this one too, but then Netflix told them they had to change it. They had to make take parts out and so forth. And so then they had to break away from Netflix, and now they have to create, they're actually working to build an independent film distribution network that's independent of Netflix. And so they're doing a wonderful thing that'll help not only Christspiracy, but will help many more independent films to get out to a lot more people. So it's a whole big work that they're engaged in to help empower independent filmmakers to not be slaves to this monopoly control that a few corporations have over what we get to see. And so some of it's, you know, Christspiracy is controversial enough that they didn't want them to get it out. So I really want to respect them for sticking with it and showing it, doing what they can to make this public. So thank you, Lisa, for reminding me about that. And we have another 2 minutes. Andy, you have your hand up. Yes.
Hi. Okay, two really, really quick things. So if you've just been doing the talking about Christspiracy, so we cannot see it right now. Is there a way that we can watch it or no?
No, you can see the trailer, or you can...
Oh, I saw the trailer. Yeah.
Yeah. Or you can see it. If you can find a venue... and show it to 20 people or something, then yes. I mean, they're looking for people to do screenings.
And the screening, would that be like, are they going to provide a DVD, or how does that work?
We did it in West Palm.
Stream?
Yeah, we did it in West Palm Beach, and it's basically, it's a link, it's a secure link to a streaming. It's streaming. So you have to have a good internet connection, but it went great. We did a screening for probably, we had a good crowd. We probably had like 60 people maybe, who watched it in a room that we got. And then they came on afterwards, and we did a Q&A with Kip and Cameron. I think mainly Cameron, afterwards, because he was still, wanting to get feedback about it and so forth. So as far as I understand, they're in the final stages, but I think if you want to do a screening, you could probably do that. If you can get a venue and get some people together. I'm not sure what their requirements actually are. I'm sure there's a certain minimum number, but I don't think it's that many. And then, because they want to build a buzz, you know, so if people start seeing it and say, wow, this was so great, you know, mm-hmm. tell their friends, you know, because it really is great. I have to say, it's a very heart-touching, and provocative film. I think they did an excellent job on it. And it's really, I think, very good for the vegan movement to get it out there, the spiritual part of this, and the ethical part, really, is what it is. So you can be in touch with them. I mean, go to their, Lisa has given this link of their private Facebook group, so you can maybe contact them that way. Yeah.
Okay, so that was one thing. The other thought, and I'm sure you've already thought about this, but have you ever thought about speaking at animal shelters or at animal rescues, or have you ever tried that? Because you mentioned Utah, and I thought, well, Best Friends Animal Sanctuary is like the largest animal sanctuary, I think, in the country, but of course I know they've got to be speaking. Well, I'm guessing they're serve a vegetarian meal to their employees and volunteers.
Yeah, well, yeah, we do. We've spoken at lots and lots of sanctuaries. We love speaking at sanctuaries. Yeah, we do it all the time. I've spoken in sanctuaries all over the United States, Canada, China, India, Australia, Europe, Africa, everywhere. One of the best places. Yeah. Pardon me? I think you're breaking up. Oh, go ahead.
My internet's going out. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah,
I guess you can't hear it.
No, I can't hear you. But it's a good point. I mean, we really like speaking at sanctuaries, and because they're great places for education for animals. So definitely, it's a great idea. All right, well, let's have our closing prayer, I think, because we really are at the time, and we promised that we won't go over, and the time flies, and somehow I don't know how it goes so quickly. Welcome, Davi. I'm so glad you could join us all the way from England in the middle of the night there. Appreciate you joining us, too. And it's good to see you all. Christina, hi. We send our love. And everybody, Margie, Ann, Lily, Andy, Judy. Okay, let's go ahead and say our prayer. I apologize. We're doing this one day early, but we still have some of us here. Let's say it together. Here we go.
Compassion
the earth for all beings
everywhere.
Wonderful. Let's say it again together. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings
everywhere.
Wow, we're getting good. One more time with feeling.
Compassion
encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. All right, so we'll see you the first Thursday and the third Thursday. We're all set, no conflicts, so we're on back on our regular schedule in December. Much love to you all. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Bye.
Thanks living, and we love you. Thanks again.
Very much.
Thank you.
Hey, Will. Love you, Madeline. Love you, Judy.
Thank you, Lily. Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Love.
Love
you to everybody.
Love you.
Love you. All right. Bye-bye. Bye.